the greatest earthly gift you have ever received. Maybe it was a birthday. Maybe it was Christmas. Maybe, just maybe, it was your anniversary. What was the greatest earthly gift that you've ever received? Second question. You don't have to answer out loud, and I'm glad you don't, because none of you did. Second question. What's the greatest earthly gift you've ever given? Maybe it was a birthday. Maybe it was Christmas. Maybe it was an anniversary. Maybe it was just because. The greatest earthly gift you've ever given. Maybe when it's about the grandkids, that Chevrolet Corvette. My grandpa didn't buy me that. That would be the greatest gift. Maybe it was the car, maybe it was the new bike, maybe it was the go-kart, the motorcycle. Greatest gift you've ever given, what was it? Third question. Have you ever given a gift that benefited you even though you were giving it to somebody else? We're totally honest. Sometimes I have bought a Christmas gift for the kids, and I say, you know what? I like that video game, and I'll enjoy playing it myself. And there might have been a time or two or five where I bought Tracy a gift, and knowing that when she wasn't using it, yours truly would be using it. Has there ever been a time you gave a gift that benefited you? Last question. Has there ever been a gift that you opened? And I remember some of those pajamas I got or some of those sweaters I got. And my parents would always give us the riot act. You have to show appreciation. And so I would pull it out. I'm like, oh, wow. Great present. Ever received a gift that turned out to be a great gift? A wonderful gift, but when you first looked at it, you're like, what is this? And am I going to like this? And am I going to enjoy this? Well, now I want to talk to you about the greatest gift ever. That you will give, that you will receive, and that when you give it, it will benefit you more than the person you give it to. But when you look at this gift, you're going to say, I don't need that gift. I don't like that gift. You say, what's the gift? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Be kind one to another. Tenderhearted, here's the phrase, forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Three truths this morning that will bring peace to your soul. Sermon I've entitled, The Greatest Gift Ever. First truth, Ephesians 4, I want you to look up at verse 31. Notice the resolve of forgiveness. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So Paul says, get rid of it, kick it to the curb, evict it, get it out of your possession, out of your home, out of your environment. All of these, bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, get them out of your life. Now remember, Paul is writing this from prison. He has been unjustly incarcerated. He has been unfairly treated. He would eventually lose his life for telling the truth. And he writes, bitterness, hurt that you hang on to, wrath, that's anger that you do something with. Anger is what you hold within. Clamor, that's the feuding, evil speaking, that's talking unkindly, cussing, be put away from you. Paul has no bitterness, no rage toward the guards, no unresolved anger in his life. So in a crowd this size, and if probably I had to talk to a crowd of 10 people, every one of us have something in common. All of us have been mistreated. Maybe it's a spouse that walked out, left you with the kids. Maybe it was a job, an employer that laid you off, no severance pay. Maybe it was a parent and you were verbally abused as a child, maybe physically abused, and maybe abused other ways. Maybe it was a church. They pretended to have everything together. They dressed the part. But they didn't live up to their talk and their dress. The one in prison is not the offender. Who was offended, that didn't let go of that hurt. And that hurt turns into bitterness. And they carry it around for decade after decade after decade. Greatest gift you can ever receive is when you receive forgiveness. But the greatest gift you can ever give is that forgiveness you receive from God. You give it to somebody else. That's what Paul talks about in this passage. When you forgive, you give the offender, that person who mistreated you, something that they don't deserve. Just like God gave you something you didn't deserve when He forgave you of your sins. And here's what happens. When you forgive, it releases you from prison. And you're no longer in bondage. You're no longer held captive of that hurt from 1978 or 19 whatever it was that you just been carrying around. That abuse from that family member, or that abuse from that employer, or that abuse from that high school person, you let it go. And you forgive them. You give them the gift of forgiveness. And by giving them the gift of forgiveness, it helps you more than it helps them. Look at verse 32. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, notice the last three words, has forgiven you. So he's talking here to forgiven people. Forgiven is past tense. These are believers. Those who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Forgiveness is to release. It carries the idea of a debt that somebody owes you. And when they owe you a debt and you release that debt, or better yet, you say, God, I'm going to stop carrying this note that they owe me for hurting me. And I'm going to transfer it to your account. Scripture says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. God's ledger sheet. It releases you, and he's talking to believers. That's what we are to do. You say, I can't do it. Look at verse 32 again. The key of forgiveness is those two words, even as. The model of forgiveness is God forgiving us of our sins. See, if you want to focus on your offender and how your offender has hurt you, you won't forgive. But if you focus on God and how He has forgiven you, you will be able to forgive. Number one, resolve of forgiveness. He gives you this long list and he says, get it out of your life. Remove it, chunk it, hurl it, fling it. Get rid of it. The resolve of forgiveness. Secondly, notice the responsibility. When Christians don't forgive, you are requiring people to live by a higher standard of living than God requires them to live by. You claim to be forgiven by God, but refuse to offer the same forgiveness that you received to people in your life who need it. Now, we like receiving the forgiveness, but we don't like giving that same forgiveness. Maybe you're sitting here today and you say, Pastor, you don't know how bad I've been hurt. What was done to me was illegal. What was done to me was immoral. What was done to me was unethical. What was done to me was criminal. I get it. And when we focus on how badly we've been hurt, rather than how greatly we have been forgiven, we'll never forgive. But when I focus on my personal sin and how God has forgiven all of my sin, it frees me to go and forgive those that have hurt me the greatest. And that's what liberates and sets me free. So understand, forgiveness is not denying the reality that you've been mistreated and you've been hurt. So some of the big tough guys, it didn't bother me. Yeah, it did. So it's not denying the reality. It's not letting the offender off. It's literally that mistreatment, that debt, if you will, you are putting it on God. And God can settle the score a whole lot better than you can. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So you're saying, God, instead of me carrying around this hurt, this mistreatment, this bitterness, I'm giving it to you and you settle the score. So it's not letting them off. It's transferring the bill to somebody who can settle the claim. It's not overlooking the transgression as if it never happened. It did happen. It is very much legit. Forgiveness is not so much for the one who offended, but it's for the one who was offended. It's not so much for the one who did the mistreatment as the one who was mistreated. Because you're hurt. And as long as you keep hitting that replay button and remember that verbal abuse, remember that physical abuse, remember that employer, or remember that teacher back in elementary school, and you remember what she said about me. When you don't forgive, you just keep carrying that on. Where when you forgive, you release. You give it to God, and you're free to live life without that burden any longer. When you forgive someone, you are not saying the wrong did not occur. You are saying, I'm releasing the debt for a God who's much bigger and much more capable than I to settle the score. Because here's what we don't realize. When you resent people for mistreatment, the longer you live in resentment, you start to resemble them. And the people that you hate more than anything, you act just like them. And you start to perform just like the people that you don't like. But when you release them, you release yourself. You're free. You're liberated to live life, and God's going to take care of the mistreatment. The responsibility of forgiveness. You say, how do I know? Some people say forgive and forget. I can't forget. How do I know if I have truly forgiven? Good question. Look back at the verse again. Be ye kind one to another. Tender-hearted. Kind is being gracious as opposed to being harsh. Tender-hearted is being soft and compassionate as opposed to being hard-hearted. Two kinds of people in the world. Hard-hearted people and tender-hearted people. And you look at you, the reason that people are hard-hearted is because they have been hurt by somebody in their past and they never got over it. Kind. See, when you put your heart out there for people and they stomp on it, here's what our natural tendency is to do. Fine. I'm going to build a wall around my heart so I don't get mistreated again. And that works, but your greatest characteristic is your heart. And you stop living. You start living out of your mind. And your heart withers up and dies. And you become like that person that you hate and you do not like. When you refuse to forgive someone who has done you wrong, you're not keeping that person locked up in prison. You're keeping yourself locked up in the prison of bitterness. You say, preacher, you just don't get what they did to me. Friend, listen to me. You know who is hurting the most over your bitterness? You. Who's the one that can't sleep at night? It's you. Who's the one that has the ulcers? It's you. Who's the one that's miserable? It's you. Verse 32. Look up at verse 30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye were sealed until the day of redemption. You say, how do we grieve the Holy Spirit of God? Verse 31. When you hang on to bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking, and you don't put it away from you. So here's my question. You're making your Christmas list. You got your spouse on there. You got your kids on there. You got the in-laws on there. You got the list. Who's the name that you would never have on that list? Who's that person who has mistreated you that you need to give them the gift? And for your sake, they need the gift of forgiveness. You know the face that comes up. Who is that? Now, here's what I want to ask you. Why don't you forgive them? Now, if you go and say, well, they don't deserve it. Okay. You remember that we don't deserve forgiveness either, and yet God gave us forgiveness. So tell me again, why aren't you forgiving them? You say, well, they hurt me really bad. Do you realize if you were the only person who was ever born, Jesus would have come to earth to die for you and for your sin? So literally, Neil Jackson's sin put Jesus on the cross. And yet he forgave me completely.
Number two, the responsibility of forgiveness. Number three, I'll be done. Notice the reward of forgiveness. See those three words, one another. Be ye kind one to another. Undeserved forgiveness, given forgiveness to somebody who absolutely doesn't deserve it, that's grace. When people who have been forgiven, they forgive others. Well, that's peace. But this verse talked about forgiving one another. It's forgiveness reciprocated. That's fellowship. You know what? In families, you're going to have hurt feelings. In jobs, you're going to have hurt feelings. In churches, you're going to have hurt feelings. In Sunday school classes, discipleship groups, somebody's going to get their feelings hurt. And the only way we make it is being tenderhearted and forgiving them. And forgiving them and forgiving them. One to another speaks of an exchange of forgiveness. It's not a release of forgiveness. It's reciprocation. I forgive you, and then you forgive me. And I don't do it intentionally, but probably in a couple of weeks, I'm going to do something brain donorish, and you forgive me again. And again, you're going to do something that you should. And it's a reciprocation of forgiveness. Let me show you one other thing. You say, what's the standard of forgiveness? Look at verse 32. Kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Number one issue I deal with in the counseling office is over forgiveness. If you take care of forgiveness issues, I think you've taken care of 80% of any issue that a person will ever come and talk to you with. So literally, if they come to see me about a hangnail, I'm going to talk to them about forgiveness. Always and forever. But most time people say, Pastor, they don't deserve my forgiveness, and they never ask me for forgiveness. And I always take them to this verse. As God, for Christ's sake. So I don't forgive that person because they deserve it. I forgive that person because Jesus deserves it. For Christ's sake. You say, but they hurt me really bad. And I'm like, you don't realize the type of sinner I am. I've hurt Jesus really bad. And remember when he was on the cross? He kept saying, you look it up in the original, he kept saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He just kept repeating it. Now here's what's interesting. There's no record whatsoever that any of his tormentors ever asked him for forgiveness. And yet he still forgave them. There's no record. While they were mistreating him, he was forgiving them. Father, forgive them. They're spitting upon him. They're cursing him. Even though he knows everything, he knows they're going to continue to mistreat him. And he's still forgiving them. You say, I can't forgive this person. I agree with you. You can't. But through Christ, you can. For Christ's sake, he has forgiven you. But if you're going to forgive the way Jesus forgives, there's three ways that you need to forgive. Number one, you need to forgive freely. Jesus didn't charge us anything for forgiveness. No strings attached. Okay, if you'll do this, and you'll do this, and you'll do this, and you'll do this, and you'll do this, then I'll forgive you.
No strings attached on forgiveness here. No fine print. No reading the details in the contract. Jesus just forgives you totally freely. Secondly, He forgives you fully. Now think about this. If God refused to forgive one part of one fraction of one decimal point of one iota of our sin, and say, okay, that little minuscule part of sin, I'm not going to forgive, all of us would be in hell. Hallelujah, glory to God. I know I'm talking to Baptists. Jesus forgives us freely, but Jesus forgives us fully. Hey, your sins will I remember no more. They're gone forever. Tetelestai, they're gone. Hallelujah. We bask and we glory and we praise in the forgiveness of God Almighty for us. But when it comes to taking that forgiveness and giving it to the coworker, or even giving it to that parent, we get a little bit stingy. He forgives fully. Thirdly, He forgives finally. Jeremiah 31 verses 34 says, "For I forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." So He never brings it up again. Psalm 103 verse 12 says, "It's as far as the east is from the west." And the east and the west, they never meet up. That's how He has removed your sin from you. It's gone. It's gone forever. Some wives are known to get historical in fights. Not hysterical, historical. Where they're bringing up, well, you did this and you did this. Forgiveness forgives freely, forgives fully, forgives finally. It's over and it's gone. Folks, here's the way that we can forgive. Because all of us are sinners. All of us. If you've sinned one time or if you've sinned a zillion times, if you go to heaven, you would mess it all up. So you need somebody that would be your substitute, that would forgive your sin and pay your sin debt. That's Jesus. Left heaven, came to earth to die on an old rugged cross, to take your hell, to pay your sin debt. He was buried and He rose again for you. Now we love receiving forgiveness. Yeah, let me open up that present. Hey, Lord, I need some more forgiveness today, and it's always there. The greatest gift you will ever give that benefits you more than the person that you give it to is given the gift of forgiveness. So here's my question for you. In making out your Christmas list, who's that person that's not there that you need to give the gift of forgiveness to? Why don't you take care of it today? For Christ's sake, forgive them. It was December 1st, 1997. There were a couple of dozen kids outside of the school that were there, meet you at the pole, and they were praying when Michael Carneal got out of the car. He had a grim look upon his face, had an attitude, and he had a gun. Walked up to where these kids, innocent kids, they had done nothing to Michael. He started shooting off his gun. Those kids, Paducah, Kentucky,
He killed three of them, and six of them he injured severely. Some weeks later, Melissa Jenkins, she said, "Can I write Michael a note in prison?" You understand that Melissa was one of those that was wounded. You understand Melissa is a paraplegic for life, because when he shot her and hit the spinal cord, and she'll never walk again. "Can I send him a note?" And this is what she wrote. "Michael, I've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. He's given me grace and forgiveness. And I want you to know I give you the same grace and the same forgiveness that I've received from Jesus. I forgive you for your actions, and I hope you will come to know my Savior and find His forgiveness as well." You say, how could a girl that's going to be paralyzed for the rest of her life forgive the guy who took it from her? For Christ's sake. That's how we forgive. My question for you: have you received the forgiveness of God? If you haven't, receive it today. If you have received the forgiveness of God, who is that person in your life you need to forgive forgiveness to?